with that, let me just start the recording and carry on here. We'll have time for questions at the end. I believe Paul's going to join us this evening, but let's get started in the meantime, and hopefully we'll go carry forward here. My name is Dr. Marcus Kuipers. I'm a member of the Scientific Advisory Board for XFuse, and as we do most every week on Monday evenings, we talk about a particular ingredient in some depth of our wonderful XFuse family of products. And this evening, we kind of have touched on it in a number of instances in the past, and I thought we'd actually maybe talk about it a little bit more in depth this evening. And it's a part of all of our XFuse products. It's a really important part. Kind of doesn't get a lot of mention and doesn't get a lot of attention as the other more glamorous ingredients, and that is the subject of water. Now, as you notice on the XFuse bottles, they talk about it on the label as being structured water. And structured, there's lots of different names in it, functional, altered water, structural water, and really it's kind of defined as any mechanical, electrical, or optical process which alters the physical or chemical characteristics of water. And it's thought to be kind of a subtle energy effect on the water. And as a result, these subtle energy effects are somewhat difficult to measure. It is thought to produce some changes in the water at a very minute nanotechnology level. This is like 10 to the minus 9th meter, so that's pretty tiny. And this is thought to facilitate passage of the water molecules into the cell. And there are many naturally occurring effects with water, and the whole idea of whether this water is oxygenated, whether it's electrolyzed, whatever the molecular framework of it is, I think we should pay attention to it just simply from the standpoint that they are using as pure and unadulterated water as possible. And the idea of so-called structured water is that if you subject water to a variety of processes, actually water will tend to form up in clumps of six molecules, or in kind of a glorified hexagon. And these six molecules of water are held together by relatively weak bonds, and the idea is that when you do this, you basically cause the water to form into much smaller groupings rather than larger clumps or disorganized conglomerations of water molecules. And this may have some facility in basically forming the ingredients, i.e. the all the extract molecules, into as small a groupings as possible. And so I think when using structured water, which is, in other words, think of it as pure water as possible, into the initial mix when they mix up a bottle of XFuse, it basically will dilute these groups of extracts into as small and discrete groupings of molecules as possible. And the idea is that the smaller these groupings of the extract molecules can be made, the more easily they will be assimilated. Water basically diffuses into the cell relatively easily, and the larger size molecules, such as the extracts and vitamins and proteins and fatty acids and all the other good things that are in 7+, does not diffuse as readily, and it requires some cellular energy to help work on actually moving the stuff through the cell membranes and into the cells themselves. So when we talk of structured water, that doesn't mean to say that the water inside the bottle that you receive in your case of shipment actually is still structured, simply because there's really no good, easy, and cheap way to measure that. But when they start out, they use as pure and structured to some degree water as possible to dissolve and make up a given bottle of Xfuse 7 Plus so that we can be reasonably sure that we're getting the best bottle of product that's mixing up the ingredients and the extracts as fine as possible so that they can be more readily absorbed. Now, remember that water is pretty important to the body. It's generally about 65% of your body by weight. It's a little more. It's about 80% in infants, and in seniors, it's probably closer to 50%. But every system in your body depends on water. Most of the water that is lost through the body is lost through respiration and perspiration, as well as urine and bowel eliminations. On average, we put out about 6 cups of water a day by urine, and through respiration, we put out about a liter a day. That also includes bowel eliminations as well as sweating. So there's not a single system in the body that doesn't require water in some degree of another. It carries all the vital elements, oxygen, chemical messengers, and all parts of the body via the blood and the fluid and tissues that are surrounded by water. There's various chemical messengers that require water. Most every chemical reaction within the cells requires water because it's basically sitting there in a soup of chemicals, and most of this is made up of water. It's important for the blood. It's important for transportation of oxygen. It's important for eliminating waste. It even regulates the metabolism. And you can survive about a month without food, but you can only survive about a week without water. And really, about 20% of fluid intake comes from food we eat. So there's food in the that we have has water in it. And that means that we actually need, on average, and this varies depending on your age, your physical condition, the climate you live in, how active you are, but on average you need about 2 liters of water, or a little more than 2 quarts a day, which is about 8 ounce cups. Actually, the Institute of Medicine recommends that we need about men need 3 liters of water per day, and women need about 2.2 liters. So it's 13 cups of water a day for men and 9 cups for women. So, if you figure that, you're going to get some portion in your food, the rest means that that's kind of the genesis of where this idea of drinking 8 glasses of water a day comes from. U.S. Research Council says that for every calorie you eat, you're supposed to consume a milliliter of water to meet the metabolic demands to use that calorie and its consequent production of whether it be energy or waste products or what have you. And so, if you're eating an average 2,000 calorie diet, you need about 2,000 milliliters or 2 liters of water per day. Now, the other part of water is that it's so important, and what's gotten a lot of concern and press lately is that it's estimated that many people are chronically dehydrated. It's estimated anywhere from a half to three quarters of Americans, probably more so in other countries that aren't fortunate to have a ready supply of drinking water. And our first defense mechanism against, against dehydration or the lack of water tends to be thirst. Now, thirst can also be driven by increased salt intake, because the body has to buffer the amount of salt we take, and that's why it's so important if you have high blood pressure, that you have to be particularly careful of your salt intake, because fluid follows salt. And similarly with protein, your body has to help metabolize that amount of protein that you take. So if you eat or consume a lot of protein, then you're going to need correspondingly more water. If your body's breaking down protein through vigorous exercise or poor nutrition, then it's going to consequently need more protein. I mean, more water to handle that protein. If you have any degree of dehydration at all, this can slow down your metabolism. And in many people, the thirst mechanism can often be confused with hunger pangs. So there's been a fair amount of research done, and there was even a study that was done with dieters to show that that basically water can shut down hunger pangs. And this was a study done on dieters. And even as much as one glass of water can decrease hunger pangs. And some various other conditions that can also be attributed to dehydration or lack of water is for example, daytime fatigue. There's some research to suggest that back and joint pain can be ameliorated or improved with adequate hydration. There's also says that short-term memory or fuzzy confusion, trouble with basic math, and difficulty focusing can be caused by dehydration. And in the studies where they did this, they can attribute it to dehydration, because when they basically rehydrate somebody or give them adequate water, then the symptoms seem to remarkably improve. It's also been estimated that it can also increase or decrease the risk of various types of cancer. Everything from colon to breast to bladder cancers have all been lessened by drinking adequate water. So, I think there's, some significant improvements to be had just by drinking, adequate water. Everything from fatigue and even various allergies, joint disease, certainly constipation, and anxiety, headaches even. Headaches can be a significant sign of dehydration, and they certainly seem to improve with drinking adequate water. Now, that's not to say that all headaches or dehydration is the only cause of headaches or joint pain or various maladies, but I think it's instructive to recognize that a lot of common complaints that we all have at one time or another may be due in part in a large factor to dehydration or lack of adequate water intake. And, it doesn't mean that, you should go out and start drinking, 2 gallons of water, because then you can certainly throw yourself into the other way and dilute your sodium and cause hyponatremia, which has a whole another set of problems in and of itself. But it nevertheless signifies that certainly drinking more water is going to be to your benefit. And that preferably should be just basic plain old H2O, ideally purified or reverse osmosis filtered or what have you, because, you know, yes, you're getting water in various drinks, whether it be, you know, from vitamin water to a can of Coke or, you know, a bottle of iced tea or what have you. But you're also getting a lot of other things that may or may not be to your benefit. You know, most bottled drinks have a fairly high sugar load, and not to mention all the preservatives with them. And, you know, your body's basically best set up to absorb water, plain old H2O, and can most easily utilize it without having to metabolize or excrete all the other products that may come along with the water and further load the system. So it may be something to think about that if you're on your quest to improve your health, as most all of us are, and that's, I think, in part why we're consuming something like 7+, that drinking extra water, or at least making sure that you get 8 glasses of H2O a day would be to your advantage. It also is significant that if you're going to take your ounce of X-Fuse, then certainly drinking a glass of water with it afterwards is while not absolutely necessary, it would be beneficial to chase it with additional water. Just to help the body absorb it. It also helps spread the, you know, the ingredients, the extra extracts in X-Fuse over a wider surface area. And remember that the lining of the gut is basically all about surface area, which is why they have the little villi and the little fingernail projections within the lining of the small intestine, which is really to increase surface area so that the X-Fuse water mix can come in contact with more surface area of cells and thereby be better absorbed. So I think that's part and parcel why, you know, it's helpful to drink more water, and the more water you drink, with or without your X-Fuse, then you're doing good things for your body. And whenever, I'm asked, I certainly would recommend that taking more water with your X-Fuse is to your benefit, whether that means that you have to mix your X-Fuse in a bottle of water, or whether you can, you know, drink it, swish it around your mouth, and then swallow it, and then take a big gulp of water, is, I think, a matter of personal preference. But certainly more water is a good thing. So I think that's really just kind of an overview of water. There are numerous authors and books on why we need to be drinking more water and the benefits thereof. You can certainly just do a Google search on you know, your body's need for water and find ample references, but I think it's fairly well established, and in my practice, certainly one of the things I see so often in seniors is basically lack of adequate fluid intake. And it can cause a host of problems that are certainly improved with adequate fluid intake. And it sometimes is a matter of, you know, just habit and conditioning that we're not always in the habit of drinking sufficient quantities of fluid, and we really need to train ourselves to drink that extra bottle of fluid a day. So with that, let me ask if there's any other questions regarding water or regarding our wonderful X-Fuse family of products. If you have a question tonight, please hit *7 and pipe right up.
Well, first of all, thank you for the excellent job, Dr. Kuypers. That was, as always, very educational and very informative, and I'm sure the people have learned a lot. And you know what? We don't think of water, you know, as an important ingredient in our daily diet. I think most people don't. They think of vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients and carotenoids and polysaccharides and, but, you know, just the value of just plain old water. But, you know, as you've pointed out, filtered water, water that's had all the bad stuff taken out of it. But it's amazing how many people have various maladies that may be due, in fact, to insufficient amount of water in their diet. I know I subscribe to a number of medical journal reports and doctors' newsletters, and I was reading one recently that if you don't drink the water, the body pulls it out of your feces, and that's how people get constipated. And,
yeah, that's a great. It's probably the number one factor I think in deal with constipation is lack of adequate fluid intake, and there is no laxative that doesn't depend on fluid.
No, exactly. You know, so everybody should be, you know, when they empty their 7 plus or 7 plus performance bottle, you should keep it handy and fill it up with filtered water. Dr. Joseph McCullough recommends that he feels that the safest water to drink is your tap water after you filter it with a point-of-use filter that takes out the chlorine and the trihalohalomethanes and the, you know, all the heavy metals and everything else. You know, a good, charcoal filter, perhaps even a silver impregnated granulated activated charcoal type filter that, you know, rather inexpensively, and it can be purchased and just screws right onto your tap. It doesn't require, you know, an installation. I know, you know, what Sandy and I do is we have a big, huge carbon filter underneath the sink, and we're actually having a whole house unit installed, and then we run it through an ionizer that actually ionizes the water, producing a higher pH water that refilters it again and removes a good chunk of the fluoride out of it, because we moved to a town that didn't have fluoride in the water, and then a few years ago, some people voted to put fluoride in, and that was much to my disappointment. That was one of our major reasons we moved here. But a good charcoal filter on your sink, and make sure you just drink plenty of water during the day. But then fill up those empty bottles, and then when you're at the gym or at the store or walking around, you're drinking out of that bottle. People can say, is that a new kind of water? Oh, no, this is just my glass bottle. I don't drink anything out of plastic bottles. We only drink out of glass bottles, and this is from one of the products. It's just a great little conversation starter. They say, well, this is the empty bottle from my 7, plus or my 7 performance. And they go, well, what's that? And it just opens up the conversation, gets you, engaged in a conversation. But anyway, with all that, who has our first question for Dr. Matter of fact, I have sometimes people email me questions, and I have one that I'm going to share quickly here because somebody had emailed that into me, and it says, I have a customer that told me that they were getting some 7 plus for their dad who had high blood pressure. I told them to only take 1 ounce a day, but they noticed that he was drinking it straight out of the bottle in large quantities because it tasted so good. Bottom line was, it said his blood pressure dropped to a dangerous level. Have we ever heard of this happening? So that was the question. Have we ever heard of that happening before? And I've got to say, with all the testimonials, I've had people talk about it, their blood pressure normalizing, and all sorts of cardiovascular benefits. Was their opinion, what they believed it did for them. But have you heard of anybody getting a dangerously low blood pressure as a result of drinking too much, Dr. Kuypers?
I've not heard of, it's kind of a point of, I guess, definition, what is dangerously low. really, you know, your blood pressure isn't dangerously low unless you're about to faint or pass out. So, and we're beginning to realize that actually the old standards of blood pressure lower than 140 over 90, you know, if your systolic or the upper number is less than 140, that's the goal, and the lower number should be less than 90. And you know, people say, oh, my blood pressure is 120 over 70, and that's too low. No, I mean, basically, with blood pressure, lower is better. So providing that they're not getting dizzy when they stand up or faint or weak, then if they've got a lower blood pressure, that's less work for the heart and less chance of heart attacks and strokes and so on. So, you know, we have heard of people who've had rather dramatic success with lowering blood pressure. I've not heard of anybody who has blood pressure that's too low to the point that they were fainting or passing out, which is only what I would consider is really too low. But, you know, there are individuals who have, you know, kind of unique individual reactions to something or other in 7+, just like people can have reactions to, you know, literally anything. And, you know, I think that the important point is that, you know, it's okay to drink lots of 7+, and, you know, if they really are having that kind of reaction, then and they're drinking, you know, half a bottle a day, then maybe they should only drink a quarter bottle a day or somewhat less to still get the benefits without, you know, what they perceive to be the problems with it.
Well, I'd have to inject that. I would have to say our corporate physician, and by the way, we always have brand new people on the call every week. I want to stick in our standard disclaimers. What you're experiencing tonight is, you know, Dr. Kuypers giving you a perspective and a point of view as a board-certified physician, MD, and he is able to, as an MD, to hang on one second, he's able to answer questions. I want to caution all of you. You cannot repeat, you know, what you heard Dr. Kuypers say. He is here for the benefit of answering your specific question. You cannot turn around and repeat what he said, because unless you are an MD, if you're not an MD, you cannot do that. Also, a caution and a reminder to all of you as distributors that whenever you engage in any conversation about our product, you should start out by saying, oh, by the way, before we get started here, let me cover the standard disclaimer, and that is that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a registered nurse practitioner, I'm not a pharmacist, therefore I cannot diagnose, I cannot prescribe, I cannot prognosticate, I cannot suggest or even recommend the use of this product to cure any disease, illness, or condition. You know, with that fully understood, you know, let's move ahead. And you just clear the air on that. It's a good reminder for you and for them. And also, if you're talking about the product, say, hey, will this, you know, do this for me, or will this do that? You can't say, oh, yeah, I bet it will, or sure it will. Or, you know, you can't say anything of that nature. Then you'd be prescribing or practicing medicine without a license. You could get in trouble, get the company in trouble. So always say, I got no idea what this will do for you. What can I tell them then? Well, you can tell them what you believe the product did for you. You can't tell them what it might do for them, but you can tell them what it's done for you. That's why it's important to become a product of the product so that you can share and give your own testimonial. And by the way, I just love hearing testimonials. Maybe tonight, if there's not a lot of questions, we'll take a couple testimonials near the end here. But you can give your own personal testimonial. You can't even give somebody else's. I can't even tell you about the incredible one I got emailed this yesterday or the day before, because that would be, you know, giving someone else's testimonial other than my own. So get your own story. Become a product of the product. Develop your own story and tell your story. You say, well, I don't know what it'll do for you, but let me tell you what it did for me. Now, in the case of this person that was experiencing a lower than usual blood pressure after drinking large quantities of our product, I go back to our corporate position is that, number one, this product is to be taken according to the manufacturer or formulator's instructions that are printed on the bottle, and that is 3/4 of an ounce a day. That is the, you know, recommended daily maintenance serving size of our product. We don't call it a dosage, we call it a serving size. I mean, medical professionals, you know, talk in terms of dosage, but we talk serving size. Now, if you're a big, large, you know, person and you're, you know, chopping down trees and you're a lumberjack or driving a bulldozer and working heavy construction, you know, I guess if I had a locomotive pulling, you know, 40 or 50 cars instead of just a caboose, I'd shovel a little more coal in the engine. You may want to take a little bit extra, you know, or if you had a chronic, you know, situation that you were trying to, you know, see what kind of response you might have to it. You might want to try a little more, but the company's position is take what is recommended by the manufacturer and what is printed on the bottle. The other caution is that if you're under the care of a healthcare specialist or physician, to always consult with them first. The other position we take is if you're pregnant or nursing, contact your healthcare professional, same as if you're, you know, a minor child. And anyone that chooses to consume our product, with or without their doctor's, you know, approval on that, that's your own personal decision and a choice that you made, no recommendation by the company. Our company position is go talk to your doctor first. Well, all those disclaimers out of the way, I've muted the lines out. Let me just open it back up for anybody that would like to ask. I know there's a couple of people ready to ask a question right now, so I'm...
Okay.
Well, a whole bunch of people right now. Well, one at a time.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I have a question.
The lady, go ahead, ladies, poor gentlemen.
I have somebody who wants to take the performance who is has a thyroid issue.
Someone that has a thyroid condition?
Yes, there's a thyroid issue, and I guess there's a overactive
thyroid, and if you're an overactive thyroid,
you cannot make the avoidance.
Okay,
Doc,
you want to address that?
There's no reason if they, you know, if they have a thyroid condition that they can't take, seven plus. There's some, you know, there's various interactions, but remember you're taking a very nominal amount of seven plus, i.e. if you take, you know, your ounce a day and, you know, like everything, if they have a thyroid condition, and they should be followed by their healthcare practitioner, and they can, you know, have it monitored to see what that effect may be. But by and large, the effect of 7 plus and the phytonutrients in 7 plus actually would help to kind of balance the hormone levels. You know, most all of the hormones are kind of have some dramatic interactions among our hormonal system, and so it's kind of like if you push on one, it pushes up the others, and push down on one, and the others come up. So one of the benefits, I think, of phytonutrients or plant-based compounds is that they tend to balance out the hormonal system so that the body's now getting adequate nutrients. It tends to help the, you know, the different hormonal levels so that they're not under so much physiologic stress, if you will. And we've actually seen results where their thyroid seem to actually work somewhat better with 7 plus rather than trying to worry about whether or not they have to be taking different kinds of hormonal supplements, whether it be, you know, thyroid supplement or you know, or other supplement that you have. And so you know, I think that it would be to their benefit, and correspondingly, they would need to be followed by their physician and see if indeed they still require the same amount of hormone. But, you know, the amount of iodine that they're going to get in or the fucoidin with that is, in my opinion, not really enough to be unduly concerned with not being able to take it.
Okay, excellent, excellent answer. I've switched to our... Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Kuypers. This is Adele from Los Angeles, and I have two things. One, I want to say that I'm on thyroid, Armour thyroid, and my thyroid has been completely balanced out from the X-Fuse product. So that's the first thing I want to say as a testimony, and I've been taking that for several years. So I'm doing really well on that. The other question I had was, if you are on a water fast for a few days, is it okay to take your X-Fuse product?
Sure. Remember, you know, if you take your ounce of X-Fuse, you know, you're getting a very minimal amount of water, which I don't think is going to disrupt your water fast or cause any adverse problems with that. Yeah, I don't think that you're going to interrupt the detoxification benefits or the fasting benefits of being on a fast for a couple of days.
Okay, thank you very much.
And good, that's good to know about the thyroid. Thank you for that bit of info.
Very good. Thank you.
If anyone else has a question, I've got us in a question and answer mode where you hit *7 if you'd like to open up your line and ask a question. That'll keep the background noise.
Hello? I have a question. Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, the question is, the past 2 weeks we've talked about water and the alkaline as opposed to acidity in the water, and we're thinking about if you have some easy at-home solutions to distilling water, if that's important, or raising the pH so we get more of a base than an alkaline in our water at home.
Well, by and large, water, by definition, is neutral, so it's neither alkaline nor acidic. And the benefits of being alkaline in terms of the body, which is what you know we kind of strive for, is going to really come from your diet and balancing, you know, all the other things that you consume. To really get your water acidic or alkaline, to alkalinize your water to where it's reliably maintained in an alkaline state is fairly difficult. And I'm not aware of any good treatments or filters or anything that have actually been shown to make that much of a difference in terms of what you can actually get you know, at the tap when you take your water. I wouldn't, my personal opinion, and certainly others may disagree, I think the real benefit of trying to alkalinize your body should come through your diet. You're not going to get a lot of bang for your buck by trying to alkalinize the water you drink at the tap on that. It's difficult, and it's difficult to keep that way. So that's my opinion.
Well, I think that sort of in deference to the question that was asked here about, you know, what can you do to, you know, get more alkaline, is to refer you to a book called Alkalize or Die. It's a red book with big white letters on it. It's in almost all of your health food stores. And it talks about the, you know, the importance of alkalinity. Also, Dr. Sang Wang has a book and a DVD about, you know, alkalizing your water. But if I agree with what Dr. Kuypers has said wholeheartedly, that, you know, looking for a silver bullet or a quick fix to make up for all the mistakes we've made is not the real solution. What I personally do is, you know, I can't recommend anybody do this. I can just tell you what I personally do. I have, you know, water drops that Dr. Sang Wang produces, you know, puts out. And when I'm traveling or away from home, I, you know, put four drops in a glass of water, and it'll raise the alkalinity of the water. Add a little bit of mineral content to it as well. And at home, I have a water alkalizing unit that, but, you know, these things are, you know, expensive. But we have one of those that's kind of, you know, built into our sink now. It's got a it's hard plumbed in, and we can, you know, drink alkaline water. But as Dr. Kuiper said, that's not the quick fix magic bullet type solution that we should be looking for. We should be minimizing the things that make us acid. And without, you know, I guess that Dr. Kuiper could probably talk a whole seminar on just alkalinity and being acidic. But, you know, most people that have any kind of a chronic disease or illness, or if they were tested, would probably turn out to be very acidic. And so I think it's generally accepted and agreed that you're better off to be, you know, slightly to the alkaline side than acidic. And most people are walking around just acid. We have fun. We keep, you know, pH test strips in our home, and we have a lot of guests and people stop by. We have, you know, stick these strips under their tongue, and it's amazing how many of our friends, are very acid. And so I'd say that the first thing to do toward becoming more acidic is stop doing the things that make you acid. Some of those things are, well, for example, shrimp, you know, is a food that's very, very acid. Pork can be very acid. Almost all of your meat is very acid. But one of the biggest culprits, the biggest offender, I think, in the marketplace is, you ready for this? Sodas. You know, Coca-Colas, soft drinks, they are so acid. Matter of fact, I think it was in the book Alkalizer Diet, said if you drink one soda a day, you've got to drink like 25 glasses of water just to offset the acidic damage done by just drinking that one soda. And so certainly, although that has not a lot to do with our product, I like to digress a little bit on some of these topics, because it's difficult to drive an automobile when you've got your one foot on the gas and then one foot on the brake. You know, you're not going as fast as you could be, and you're smoking up the brake drums and just wasting gasoline when you're driving with one foot on the brake. That's what I see a lot of people doing. They hear about nutrition and they see an opportunity to supply their body with a wide variety of, you know, phytonutrients and all kinds of vitamins and minerals and trace minerals and carotenoids and, you know, xanthones and everything that are touted to, you know, be in our product. And what they do is they think that, oh, I'll just, you know, buy the 7 Plus and take a couple of glugs of that a day, and then they go on drinking this soda and just, you know, with their crazy lifestyles and diets and wonder why they're not experiencing, you know, totally robust, fantastic health. And so I like to encourage people to stop doing the bad stuff. You know, just like we have all good stuff in our product and no bad stuff, we think you should have your lifestyle like our product, you know, and just do all the good things and stop doing all the bad things, you know, that could be, you know, detrimental to your health. And as you start making some of these lifestyle changes, some of these dietary changes, I believe you'll just find yourself, you know, moving more and more, you know, gravitating toward, you know, being more at homeostasis and more, you know, toward the alkaline side than the acid side.
Done.
So, okay. Who's got our next question for Dr. Kuipers?
I have a question, Dr. Kuiper.
Go ahead.
It's actually a couple of different questions. I have a question about how the product would affect someone who has Alzheimer's, how it would affect someone who is suffering from silent seizures, and then the last one would be someone who is just started on the product and is experiencing some serious diarrhea issues, and I don't know if that would be due to a bug or if the product could be an issue.
Well, in answer to your first question, I've not particularly found that it makes a significant difference in Alzheimer's disease or dementias. And that's an area that I do have some experience with, that basically we don't really know what Alzheimer's is. We could talk for hours on Alzheimer's, but by and large, once the dementia's established and, in essence, the damage to the brain cells manifests itself by whatever mechanism Alzheimer's is caused by, it's rather difficult for something to really change and fix that at this point. I think the real benefit to something like 7 Plus, and there is some research and data to suggest that something like 7 Plus is going to work far better as a preventative measure. We know that fruit-based and plant-based extracts do have a protective and beneficial effect, but you probably got to start early and you got to take it for a long time because we know that the damage from Alzheimer's is cumulative. So it Alzheimer's or dementia is a disease that typically takes, you know, anywhere from thought to take 10 to 20 years to develop, and it's only in the at the end stages, you know, the last 5 or 6, 7 years, if you will, that it actually becomes manifest, and we see the changes that we typically cause Alzheimer's. Now, remember that in the universe of dementia, probably 2/3 is Alzheimer's, which means we don't know what causes it. The other third is typically caused by other conditions, the biggest among those being strokes that can cause dementia. And then there's a few metabolic conditions. So I wouldn't expect 7 Plus to do much for Alzheimer's, other than the fact that, you know, even people with dementia, if not especially people with dementia, need good nutrition. They need good supplementation, and, you know, because they tend to have very particular dietary likes and dislikes. Many seniors don't like taking pills, and they respond, you know, much better to taking, you know, liquids, especially if it's a sweet thing, because remember, your sweet tooth is the last thing to go. We preserve our sweet tooth the longest, and as we get older, we tend not to like things because we don't like the taste, or your smell deteriorates, and so smell is very intimately involved with taste. And as that deteriorates, as a result, seniors' appetite goes. So, you know, if you can get something that, that is sweet, tastes good, and is good for them, then so much the better. And, you know, we spend a lot of money, in my opinion, very wasteful, on trying to force vitamin pills in people, which is a very dubious benefit. And, you know, if you can get something like 7 Plus in them, which, you know, has lots of vitamins and phytonutrients and minerals and good things for them, I think it's a great idea. I just wouldn't expect to see a much of a change in somebody with dementia. Now, if you started it pretty early, maybe when the first signs of dementia were coming on, and they still had much of their faculties, then I think that might prove interesting. Whether or not it would provide a measurable change, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows, simply because it hasn't been subjected to any particular tests or other experience in that regard. So I think, you know, I think it's certainly definitely doing them no harm, and it's good for them, and it may be of some benefit. And in regards to your other question about the silent seizures, I really can't answer that question because I'm not sure what silent seizures are, because there's lots of different things.
Case, a young girl who is, they did some type of testing. I assume it's an MRI or something. I really don't know. But she's basically blanking out during the day while she's awake. She can be doing an activity and then just kind of habitually continuing the activity, although she's not focus, she's not there, she's like stopping in the middle of whatever she's doing, but her body is continuing.
Well, that could sound like you know, what we call minor motor seizures or absence seizures. The old name used to be petit mal seizures, and I don't I haven't had enough experience or heard enough about, X-Fuse with seizure disorders to really give you a good answer. I certainly would not suggest that 7 Plus would be a treatment for any sort of seizure. That would be something that, you know, the neurologist would need to address. But again, there's certainly every reason to think that good supplemental nutrition would be in that girl's interest. Whether it could be any sort of structural problem. Remember that something like 7 Plus isn't going to fix a structural problem, and we really don't know what causes seizures other than to know that it's abnormal electrical activity. But if it's any sort of a metabolic or deficiency in nutrients, then I think that something like 7 Plus would have a place and could very easily be of some benefit. Whether or not it will stop her absence-type seizures, I simply don't have enough experience, and I've not read or heard about any benefit in that regard of being able to address that. And what was your last question?
The last one was a woman that I know has there's like irritable bowel syndrome in her family, and she's sure that she has that. But when we put her on the 7 Plus, she only took it for a few days before she started rushing to the bathroom, shall we say, several times a day, and she doesn't know whether or not that's a bug or if we should attribute it to the product.
If it was just within the first couple of days, I would be very surprised if it was the product per se causing that. There is some good reasons to suspect that the product ingredients would have some benefit for irritable bowel syndrome, and we've had many, many success stories about people who have various types of bowel challenges that have had some good success with 7 Plus. It's got anti-inflammatory properties, it's got immune boosting properties and hormonal balancing properties, all of which are very much tied up with irritable bowel syndrome or Crohn's disease and so on. And but it's also going to take some time to manifest any improvement or results. So it's something that they may need to take for weeks to months to really see if it's going to do anything. So within just a couple of days, I would be surprised if that's caused by the 7 Plus, and I think that is more likely to be just a function of her underlying irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay. Thank you.
And just some input in reference to the seizure question, without any suggestion, recommendation, or anything, other than Dr. Russell Blaylock, who is a pretty world-renowned neurosurgeon, is on the advisory board of Life Extension, author of the book Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. He talks about excitotoxins, specifically he talks about MSG and aspartame or NutraSweet, the artificial sweeteners. And if anybody has any interest in pursuing, additional educational information regarding that, a very reputable source of information would be the book Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. And it's available on Amazon. And we had a family member his daughter-in-law who had experienced some seizures, and I'd read Dr. Blaylock's book, and so I suggested maybe she was drinking Diet Coke. She said, no, not at all. And she said, but I do chew a lot of sugar-free gum all the time, all day long. And she stopped, and that was the end of the seizures. And so, again, just a point of reference for additional education if someone wants to pursue that. So anyway.
Well, that what brings up another point, Paul, that you had mentioned earlier that we talked about. It's you know, the improvement in health may not be in adding something like 7+, which certainly is worthwhile and good, but it might be in getting rid of some of the other things that we might be taking, like you said, like, you know, Coke or pop or
well, and diet sodas. A lot of people say, well, I don't drink Coke anymore. I say, oh, good for you. I say, yep, I'm strictly diet Coke. I say, what? That's 10 times worse. according to Dr. Blaylock, you know. And
yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you very much. I've actually read that book before, and I had kind of forgotten some of that, so that's a good recommendation. Thank you.
Yeah, worth going back and you know, I've number of people I've referred the, you know, to that book that have come back and said, I'm drinking no more diet anything anymore. Okay. Who else has another question for Dr. Kuipers?
Hi, this is Jay Ellis.
Yes, Jay, go ahead.
My wife is having problems with taking the 7+. She gets migraines. It's something to do with the red. Have you heard anything with that?
Well, we have had a number of people that have noted some dramatic improvement in their headaches with 7+, and you know, there's quite a variety of types of headaches, and the term migraine headaches can cover quite a variety and range of conditions and precipitating factors and so on, and you know, the idea that as we talked about, that there could be some precipitating factor in the diet, certainly has a lot of credence. I think that taking something like 7+ is certainly in your best interest, especially being able to balance many of the hormonal factors, which play a significant influence on a variety of headaches. Whether it be from an anti-inflammatory standpoint or being able to also improve it just with the, you know, with balancing the hormonal standpoint, all of which is important and worthwhile reasons to take something like 7+. But, you know, and again, it might be something that you might want to start out with a relatively nominal dosage or amount, serving size of 7+, like just the, you know, say half an ounce, and then gradually work up, and they may need to take several ounces a day over a period of weeks to see if it can improve or reduce the number, severity, or frequency of headaches.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet.
Well, we're right about at the bottom of the hour here. We probably take one more, but the recording's going to stop in 10 seconds here. So, someone else have one last question they'd like to ask?